following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
How many of y'all have holy Bibles? See, mine says holy. Yours is holy? Okay. None of those pagan. We want holy Bibles. You ready, sir? Okay. This morning, I want to talk to you. We'll just go look at a few verses. You ready? How to help people out of their addictions. How to help people out of their addictions. How many of y'all have met people that are addicted, have addictions in their life? Or maybe some of y'all. Or someone listening. Well, there's a tendency out of well-meaningness to try to help someone out of their addictions, to try to fix them, try to tell them what to do. You know what I mean? That ever happened to you? You have an addiction or a compulsion or an area of drivenness, and people in your life just tell you, you just don't need to do that. You just need to stop. You know, it's easy for them to say, right? And so there are a lot of solutions out there for addictions. Our culture is full of them. He's just talking in that testimony about, you know, self-help centers. Good Lord, the bookstores and the internet's full of self-help gurus. 12-step this, 10-step that. All the way down to actually getting people addicted to other things to get out of addictions. One of the solutions to get out of heroin addiction is to take, was it methadone? It's just a lower level, but it's an addiction. And a lot of people will call switch their addictions. They'll have an addiction in a certain area, and they see that the consequences of that addiction is going to kill them. So they cease, but they pick up another addiction. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe they're drugs or alcohol or something severe. Well, they get off of that, but then they're addicted to maybe some other things, maybe less, maybe food. Food can be a powerful addiction. But it's more an acceptable addiction. You know, if you see someone with a heroin needle in their arm, you see somebody else with breadcrumbs around their mouth, and yet in the eyes of God, one can be as bad as the other, right? It's the heart. So I want to talk this morning about how to help people out of their addictions. Because we all tend to fall into, there were two trees in the garden. Actually, there were a lot of trees in the garden. But there are two specific trees he talked about in the garden. And we by nature tend to gravitate to one, and we have to be encouraged to go to the other. See, one of the trees was the tree that God said, don't go touch. Y'all remember the name of it? The tree of the what? Another way to say it is right, tree of right and wrong. And there was another tree in the garden that he specifically pointed out. It was called the tree of life. Now, they really, after they'd eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't need to be eating that tree of life. Jesus, later, I can show you in Scripture, is the tree of life. But they weren't. But I really believe that had they not eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was, I think, an opportunity for them to eat the tree of life. I think that today we are tempted by every day to gravitate to one of the two trees. And really the problem is most of us try to fix and help people out of their addictions with the wrong tree. We go to the tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Go to John chapter 1. Let me show you something. The tree of right and wrong. The tree of trying to fix people. The tree of telling people what's right and what's wrong. Your addiction is wrong. To not be addicted is right. And so you need to do right. You know what I mean? John 1. Well, let me show you something fundamental about the kingdom of God. And this is so misunderstood. It's why so many churches are filled with addicted people. Okay? And one of the very roots of this ministry is a deliverance. We start out as a deliverance ministry, ministering to addicted people. And so, I mean, we've never lost our roots. And I've learned something that people, there's a certain way to get people out of addictions, and it's not what you think. Because would you agree that most methods used today aren't very successful? That a lot of people are maybe ceasing their addiction, but all they've done is they have some kind of a coping mechanism to maintain the addiction. For instance, like these 12-step programs. People will go to them, and they're never really free from the addiction, but they become addicted to the 12-step program. They become addicted to the accountability environment where they're constantly offering vulnerability about their addiction, but they're never really free. Okay, and they're afraid that if they ceased in that, they'll succumb. Sort of like this guy who was talking about, you know, he just defaulted back to his addiction. Well, we're going to look at how Jesus helped people out of their addictions. But we've got to understand something first about the kingdom of God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, we've heard that before, but there is something so incredibly fundamental about that. Guys, the Old Testament, Moses came down with stone tablets with do's and don'ts. Am I right? And God commanded the people, you keep all the commandments of the law, or you fall under the judgment, the consequences of that. Well, what's interesting is God knew, even in the giving of the law, he knew that the people would violate the law. Because in the very 40 days that Moses spent up in the mountain with Sinai, getting the law, at the same time, God spoke to him about a whole other bunch of stuff. You know what that was about? Sacrificial offerings. He talked about the law, and then at the same time, he said, now, I want you to designate something called a priesthood, and you'll have a tabernacle, and an altar, and you will take beasts and slay them, and they will die and shed blood for the atonement of my people. So it's interesting, he talked about the law, but at the same token, he talked about forgiveness, because he knew people would break the law. So Moses really instituted two things. He instituted a do or die law, and then he brought down an ordinance of sacrificial offerings to forgive the people when they broke the law. So it was kind of a frustrating dynamic for them. Well, he says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus showed a brand new way. I mean, it is so revolutionary. To this day, most people still don't understand what Jesus... There are so many people that still live under the law. In fact, I was sharing this Friday night, and this is really powerful. You should never read the Old Testament except through New Testament lens. We looked at a verse in Isaiah 33 about farsightedness. You should see the king in his beauty and the land very far. And the way to get farsightedness, okay, it says you should despise the giving of bribes. You should close your ears from seeing evil and close your ears from hearing of bloody things. And then your eyes will see the king in his beauty. And the point I made was, you know, that's not a bunch of do's and don'ts there. From the New Testament perspective, what he's saying is if Jesus is in you and the Spirit of God is in you, then that's what's going to flow out of you. It's not like you got a bunch of do's and don'ts. When you're born again, okay, there's something in you, out of your belly will flow rivers of living. You are going to be able to live the law and you don't have to do it. We're not commanded to do the law. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God and love Jesus. And in doing so, we actually walk out the righteousness of the law in our life. We actually do it by default. We default to grace as a believer. We're free from the law. And the whole book of Galatians was written to liberate people from the bondage of thinking Christianity is going back to that tree, trying to be good, trying to overcome, and I tell you what, it never works. And it says here, grace and truth. In fact, Jesus really developed a little further. Look at Luke 16:16. I like it. It's easy to remember because this is a key verse. Luke 16:16. I like verses that are easy to remember because this is a significant verse for understanding this. You ready? The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, you know, for decades, I saw that verse, went right over it, and didn't have a clue what he was saying. But Jesus is drawing a line in the sand between the Old Testament and the New. He's saying, look, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God. Since that time, there's a whole new thing. In fact, Jesus gave analogies of it. You don't put old wine in new wineskins. He kept talking about, in Hebrews 8 and 10, he talks about there's a new covenant. It's not destroyed the old, but it's fulfilled the old. In fact, he even says that in the next verse. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. It's not destroyed the law, it's fulfilled the law. The truth is, the kingdom of God is preached, and now people are pressing into the kingdom. You know, the people did not press into the law. Okay, people just abided by the law and did the best they could and failed and had to go and do sacrificial offerings. But the kingdom of God was totally different. People are pressing into the kingdom because it's a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of mercy and truth. It has nothing to do with the law. Now, the teaching is how to help people out of their addictions. You've got to understand this to help people out of addictions. You've got to understand this to get out of your own addictions. Because as long as you're trying, you're going to fail. I promise you that. I have all of Romans chapter 7 to back me up. Romans 7 is a whole chapter about I try, I really do, and yet I fail. And I see that I fail, and I don't like failing, but failing seems to be my nature. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's nothing good in me. No, no, no. That's in essence Romans 7. Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. How many of y'all understand that you are utterly, desperately wicked in and of yourself? And all your attempts are for naught, and all your little good resolutions and turning over a new leaf and fixing and resolving, ultimately, you end up really worse. Come on. Somebody in here really got this thing down? The truth is, if you did, and you really did, then all you got is pride and self-righteousness. Because then you're going to sit there like a Pharisee, judging others, because what's their problem? How can they? You ever meet those people that are very, very disciplined? I'm a disciplined guy. I am. But there are areas, I'm not one of these super freak-out disciplined, like these ex-Marines. You ever meet an ex-Marine? I had a professor at University of Houston who was an ex-Marine. Oh, Lord. I mean, every day he reminded us that he was there. He looked like one, had the haircut, you know. But he was a freak for discipline. I don't know what they do with these Marines. It's a brainwashing thing. And there's some things to be said for that. But it was like it'd be difficult for a Marine to have mercy on a slob. Am I right? But you don't see a Marine having tender mercy for a slob. No, it's like, well, what are they doing in the boot camp? They scream in their face, you know. So the point is, guys, it's impossible in and of itself, otherwise we'll minister pride. So how did Jesus minister? If what I'm saying is true, how do you help someone out of addictions? Now, what brings us up, like I shared a little bit ago, is lately God has been gracious. Just in my business with some clients that I have, and I'm training some folks, helping them out, mentoring them in the business, and having the privilege to be with people that are know the Lord, but are not walking with the Lord. And like last night, I was sitting at a house with this couple. It's the second or third time I've been there. And they're not married. Been living together 3 years, which makes it a little difficult when you're doing financial, like life insurance. You know, you have to define things. Even though our culture's gotten really humanistic, there's still a little fringe left that, you know, you've got to have define. They can't get insurance together. I said, the only way I can give you insurance, even though, did you know, in the state of Texas, they are married, called common law, after 6 months, but they couldn't get insurance together unless they told me a wedding date. And I told them that last night. I thought, this is going to be awkward. Because for all I know, the woman's been wanting the guy to ask her to marry, you know. Sometimes that's the case. We're living together, the guy, you know, guys are low-life scuzzes. They just soon live with a woman for years and never make a commitment, you know. Thank God for, I mean, seriously, women at least get that nesting instinct, want the marriage, right? So I'm finding myself, and she said, well, can we do the insurance? I said, well, yeah, but I talked to my office manager, I need to know a wedding date. It was funny. She kind of rolled her eyes when he looked down. I knew that would happen. She rolled her eyes when he looked down. I just said, ugh. It's like I always have to ask when I'm doing insurance, the woman's height and weight. I hate that, you know. I need to know your height and weight. So she looked at him and says, well, do we have a wedding date plan? And so he said, well, maybe we ought to just hold off on this insurance thing. And you know what? Let me tell you. I really like this couple. I really do. I joke around with them, and they know I'm a preacher. And I am determined to not go in there and pull some self-righteous Pharisee thing on them. Y'all a bunch of, ew. I'll sit on the edge of the table because y'all are sinners. I mean, you know. No, I really like them. And you know what's cool? Is last night after we did a bunch of transactions and everything, we were kind of fixing to go, she just starts talking about tithing. She says, you know what I realize my fundamental financial problem is? I don't tithe. And I went, that's a start? Amen? I didn't say that. I thought, that's good. So we talked about tithing. And then she started talking about this preacher that she really likes. He comes on TV all the time. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Y'all would have been proud of me when she told me his name. I went, it's the kind of preacher that you can live with somebody and you ain't ever going to get convicted. But you know what? It's a movement. It's movement. So I said, no. I said, well, that's cool, you know. I was saying, thank you, Jesus. And so I was driving home, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. He spoke to me again this morning. And he showed me this. You ready? John 4. Jesus was in the same predicament. The same predicament. And what would an average American do today? Jesus shows up. Y'all know the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Waiting at the well, and this Samaritan woman comes up. Now, what's interesting is she shows up before everybody else does. She goes down to the well alone. Okay? She goes down there alone. Now, guys, generally, in most cultures, most societies, for crying out loud, women can't even go to the bathroom alone at a restaurant. You know? Women like to have women with them. You know? It's just something about that gender. But she goes down alone. Now, why does she go down alone? Well, I think it's because there was a lot of judgment against her from her friends. And we find out why later. She was estranged. She was just, say, she'd already had five husbands and lived with, what, is that right? Living with another guy? It maybe the other women kind of didn't like being around her because what? She was going through husbands like flies. Right? And what do women tend to do with a woman like that? Maybe just not, they don't want her at the social events. She may go after their husband. So there was a kind of a, I would assume, like a handoff thing. So she goes down there alone to the well. Well, there's Jesus. And as she's coming up, Jesus goes, ew! An adulteress! Is that what he says? Do you remember one time the Pharisees did that? Remember they went out and they found this woman? I love it. They found her. What were they, peeking through windows? They found her. I mean, that means they were looking. It's interesting that the guy never came into the story. Isn't that interesting? But they dragged her in front of Jesus and they laid this heavy. Jesus, the law says stone her. And man, they were ready. They had their rocks. And Jesus, you know that story in John 8. Jesus brought a whole new kingdom. I mean, it was so beyond. And what he did caused them to drop their rocks. Read that, John. They dropped the rocks. The oldest to the youngest. The hot-headed youngest. You know, they wanted to kill. You know, there's something about youth that's just full of vinegar and spit. And you need to be just put in a cage for 20 years and grow up. Amen? Be like a wild stallion. You mean broken. Self-righteousness. I had a Bible study. I never told you. I had a Bible study at the one-way inn. Even though we were on early mornings, I was making disciples. I'd been there a few months, and we would have communion in the morning. And I have two or three other people. And we were studying the Word and a bunch of disciples like you guys are. And I had them down in the morning. And one time I found this verse in 1 John 1, and it says, we ought. It says there, King, we ought to live as he does. I remember the topic was, we ought to be doing this. This is what we ought to be doing. It says we ought to be. And we need to be. And I remember that night or the next night, my pastor came to me. And he was a really cool guy. Doug Westbrook. He said, Chris, I really appreciate you meeting a couple of new guys down in the morning, having communion, you know. And he says, but brother, I can't do it. What you putting a heavy on them for? I mean, so it said something along that. I remember going, I mean, like he was losing respect in my eyes. You mean you can't? You know, I just need to be put in a cage and left alone for 20 years. Didn't understand anything about grace. So what happens? The woman comes up to Jesus. And what does he do? Does he go, ew? No, what does he do? He says, verse 10, look, woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said, give me drink, you'd have asked me, he would have given you living water. Look at verse 14. Whoever drinks of this water that I give him will never thirst. The water I give him shall be in him a well of water springing to everlasting life. She says, oh, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Come hither to draw. I'm tired of coming down here alone. He says, go call your husband. Well, I have no husband. Well, that's kind of saying, that's kind of omission, you know. Oh, no, I have no husband. He says, you're right, you don't. And that you say truly. Of course, you're shacking up with a guy who had five husbands. You know what's interesting? I want you to see this. He didn't jump on her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't come up with a treatise. He didn't start sharing verses how you ought not to live in sin. You know what he did? Listen carefully. In the very get-go with this woman, he saw that she had a gnawing need inside of her soul, a deep hurt. And he knew the reason she'd gone from man to man to man was because she had never been satisfied and that hurt had never been healed. So what he went to was to heal the hurt. You understand? He knew the only way to get the tree is pull it out by the roots. Quit stripping the bark and knocking off the branches. You've got to go for the roots. So the root problem with this woman is she filled with self-hate and didn't like herself and was trying to find a man that would fulfill that, and she was empty, and he knew what she needed was water. She needed eternal life. She needed living water. She needed to be satisfied. And what's interesting, he didn't come with a religious trip. He just came meeting her deepest need. That's probably the first man she ever met that loved her where she was and met and spoke the truth, but offered her the solution, which is to quench her thirst. If you read the story, I believe she got saved. They hung around in town for two more days. You know, wasn't he part of his plan? He even told his disciples, do not go in the land of the Samaritans. You know what? Jesus is willing to love people to even encounter his own plans. When it goes to go the extra mile for people. He didn't, you know, Sabbath was not made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man. Let me tell you how to help people out of their addictions. You ready? It's in nature right now. Right now, we're beginning to see the first hints of the revelation of God. I walked out in the front yard this morning to get the newspaper. And I looked up, I said, oh no, that time is coming. I love the winter when you don't have to hire the lawn guy to cut the lawn. But all of a sudden, the little spring buddy, isn't it? It's mid-February, moving right into spring here in Houston. We're going to have to cut the lawn. Spring is beginning to come back. Little trees. What happens in springtime? In the fall, the old dead leaves fall off. And then the new life of the tree rises up. In this, you know the way a tree gets rid of the old dead stuff, dead leaves? Is as that new life arises, it just pushes off the old. You don't see an oak tree trying to get that last leaf off. Just wait, and the new life will purge it off. Folks, that's the way to help people out of their addictions. It's right in nature, screaming at us. Quit trying to climb a tree and try to pluck every leaf off. Oh, you smoke? Oh, you do this and that? Well, you need to not. You need to stop that. Well, they know they need to. And so they'll try stopping it. But you know they're going to smoke in their heart. Right? Am I right? They may not even smoke, but they'll just go to some other acceptable addiction. See? One that doesn't stink your clothes up. But it's still addiction. No. The law and the prophets platoon John. John came with something called repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, every man presses. Look, let me tell you something. This is brand new, totally new. It's about living water. It's about Jesus. You press into Jesus. And it's interesting, it's press. Press into Jesus. You press into Jesus. You pursue Jesus. You love Jesus. You speak in tongues to Jesus. You worship Jesus. You share your life with Jesus. You get to know Jesus. Guess what? One day you're going to look up and notice all those addictive things there. Where are they? Back then, I'll show that verse on Friday. Psalm 37 says, you got to look at it. Let's look at it. This is a total freedom from addiction. Nothing humanistic about this verse. Psalm 37, verse 10. Total freedom. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Psalm 37:10. Yea, you shall diligently consider its place, and it shall not be. You know, freedom from addiction is you're so free, you can't even remember you were addicted. That's how free you are. You can't even remember. Somebody says, you go, you know, you're right. I was addicted to alcohol once. I completely forgot. It's not even in my brain. That's freedom. Can any man? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm telling you the secret to deliverance from addiction for you and me and to help people is pointing to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. To love them. You know what? People don't care what you know until they know that you care. See, that young couple I was with last night, they know. She's got a conscience. They don't need me to naughty, naughty. No. I don't want to be their friend. But I'm praying for them. I've got in the car every time I've been there. I pray. But it's really been cool. It's been a little lesson for me from the Holy Ghost. And like last night, I began to see the fruit. She just, out of nowhere, just starts coming up with this stuff. And I'm just saying, yeah. How many of y'all have a tough time witnessing your family members? Let me tell you something. I got a younger brother named Paul. He might listen to this teaching on the web. These things are put on the web. That's cool. I don't care. He was standing there the day I got saved. Well, no, he wasn't. He was at the Ben Franklin store. 5 minutes after I got saved, I went over there and talked to him. He was the first guy I ever witnessed to, my brother Paul. 5 minutes after I got saved. Well, he called me a couple of weeks ago. We're going to go to New Orleans in about 2-3 weeks. That's your stomping ground. But we've been there. I've been there a couple of times since the great storm wiped it out. And I'm really looking forward to spending the day. We fly over there for the day. Just spend the day with the brother. That's really one of the reasons I'm going. I really don't need to go see the... Except the Café Du Monde coffees and beignets. I need to... Well, we need to witness to those people, you know. They need the gospel. Amen. You know what I'm finding? People don't care what you know until they know you care. How many of y'all associate on a regular basis with Christians who are deceived, backslid, living compromised lives? Now, let's be honest. How many of y'all at times get a little bit of pharisaical about it? You don't want to quite be around them. They're, you know, oh, they better get their act together for you to... You know what? Jesus ate with these guys. He made it a point. I mean, this infuriated the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the couldn't-sees and the wouldn't-sees. He ate with them. He sat down with them. And he just loved them. And he was their friend. But he didn't compromise. And it confused him. It confuses the demon in him. Because the demon in him expects him to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and beat him over the head. They've been beat over the head. Their own conscience is beating over the head for crying out loud. And here you are, and they know you believe different, and you're not beating over the head, and they don't know why, and they're going to be maybe tempted to ask you the reason of the hope that's within you. 1 Peter 3:15. Because you're just being an offering living water. Folks, I'm not saying they're in the time to confront with the gospel. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sharing, ministering, absolutely. But I'm talking particularly about believers who have lost their way. And you know one of the reasons they lost their way, can I be honest with you? It's because of Pharisees. A lot of times when you talk to these people, because they had, growing up, a bunch of religious snots and religious people in their church, or they just had a bunch of heavy put on them, or do's and don'ts. And that they're just so frustrated, they're just going to... Because they know intrinsically that's not the kingdom of God, they just go into sin. Because nobody modeled for them Jesus, which is love, which is to minister to the deepest hurt, the deepest need. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And in conclusion, let me tell you what. Did you know that's exactly how God is with you and I? Am I right? Isn't that the way the Lord treats you and I? Come on. You're a believer. You love the Lord. How many of y'all tend to kind of get off the path a little bit? Come on. How many of y'all tend to just kind of, with the mind, you know, a little bit, just 24/7 religious stuff, I just need a little break. You know, you get back over here. Do you notice the Lord doesn't go, aha, and pull out a lightning bolt, I've been waiting. No, you don't do that. You know what he does? Romans 2 says the goodness of God leads to repentance. What he does is he loves us. And you just melt. I mean, you're out there being a fool. You know, well, I love you, Lord. Just, would you look the other way? And God says, sure. And then you go on your way and he just blesses the socks off you. And you go, what an idiot I am. What a fool. Forgive me, Jesus. Even the servants have bread to eat, and I'm starving in this pig pen. So I'll come back home, and you come back home, you know, tail dragging, like, and he's got a party all set for you. Surprise party, right? Rings, and isn't that our Father? Let's all stand. Jesus, Lord, I thank you this morning for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, Jesus. Jesus. Now, what I want to ask is, what I want to pray, guys, listen, is a revolution in your mind to break the power of the law so we can have grace. Because, listen, God loves you. His Spirit will set you free from addiction. You want me to tell you something I found in life? Whatever you focus on is what you become. As long as you're focusing on an addiction, you never overcome it. Focus on Jesus. Put the addiction to his feet. This is what I've learned. Say, Jesus. Well, no, I'm just saying this rhetorically. Hang on. You say, you know, Jesus, let's say Jerry, you know. Jerry could say, Jesus, Jerry is getting really out of hand. So I put Jerry at your feet, Jerry says. You deal with him, because I don't know how to do it. And then you just focus on Jesus. And all of a sudden, at that point, there's been a disconnect. He's put Jerry at Jesus' feet. Jerry is no longer Jerry's problem. He's Jesus' problem. All Jerry's going to do is worship God in spirit and truth and follow Jesus. And one day you're going to turn around and notice whatever that deal was, that mountain has shrunk to a molehill. That elephant has become a little mouse. That's the key, folks. Lord, I pray for light and revelation and truth in the inward parts to set us free so we can open the prison doors and love the lost and the hurting and the deceived and be a offer to them living water, Jesus, hope, and Jesus, and talk about Jesus and the testimony of Jesus. And Lord, one of the best things about praying for the sick and reaching out to the hurting, Lord, you open those doors so we can minister. And Lord, I pray this week you just open our eyes to the needs all around us and keep us available. And everybody said, God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Anybody like prayer anointing of all come up?
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.